and ask God to speak to us. Father God, as we come into your word, come to your word now, we ask you in Jesus' name to help us to hear your voice, to hear your word. By your Spirit, may he teach us, and may we leave this place transformed, and we pray this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. So a few weeks ago, we started a teaching series on the book of 1 Thessalonians. Paul wrote to the believers in the city of Thessalonica, or Thessalonica, depending. If you know Greek, it would be Thessalonica, but some people call it Thessalonica, tomato, tomato. The Thessalonians were believers there in the Macedonia, Greece, Greek area, and they had been going through some suffering. And Paul is writing this letter to them to encourage them. And as I mentioned previously, every chapter, and realize that when Paul wrote it, he didn't write chapters and verses. He was just one long letter. Actually, the Greeks, ancient Greek, had no punctuation. There were no periods, no commas. It was like one long run-on thing. But as time developed, people edited and put punctuation in. Thank you for those of us who took Greek in seminary. And someone later, I think it was St. Jerome, put the chapters and the verses in his Latin Vulgate Bible so that we could find things more easily. But if you read 1 Thessalonians with the chapters and the verses, every chapter ends with the hope and the encouragement that Jesus is coming again. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus came today? Wouldn't that be great if there would be no more sickness, no more war, no more politics, no more suffering, no surgery coming? If Jesus would come today, what wouldn't be so wonderful if Jesus came today? Let me just tell you this. This is for free. This isn't part of the sermon. What wouldn't be so wonderful if Jesus came today is those who have never surrendered their lives to him and say, I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that he rose from the grave, and I want to spend eternity with you. My friends, Jesus could come today. We believe that he could come at any time. As we'll see when we get to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, he could come at any moment. Are you ready? Think about that. Think about that this week. Think about that today. I remember, anybody know the name of Dwight L. Moody? You know, the reason I invite people every week to come to know Jesus is because the story about Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody was born in Massachusetts. You can actually go to his grave site in western Massachusetts. And he was a shoe salesman in Boston. This is for free too, by the way. He was a shoe salesman in Boston. And he moved from Boston to Chicago. And in Chicago, he started the Chicago YMCA. And back then, the C in was actually, I know you want to jump in on this. The C, I'm not sure which way, the C standard for Christian, and it really was a Christian organization, not just going to the gym. And out of that, Dwight L. Moody started a church, and that church is still there today. It's actually now called Moody Memorial Church. Nancy and I have been to many concerts, and I've been to many conferences at Moody Memorial Church, right downtown Chicago. And then he started a college to train pastors and missionaries. No tuition. And still today, Moody Bible Institute has no tuition for their students in their undergraduate program. But Dwight L. Moody, in 1871, was preaching the gospel. And Dwight L. Moody said to the audience in 1871 in Chicago, and as some of you who know a little history, you might know what happened to Chicago in 1871. Moody is preaching, and he said to the congregation, you need to accept Jesus. You need to believe, kind of what I say every week in some form or fashion, you need to believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he rose from the grave. You need to give your life to Jesus, because Jesus is coming again, and he's coming for those who believe in him. I want you to come back tomorrow and tell me if you will accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And what happened on that night in 1871 was what some of you have probably heard of, the Great Chicago Fire. And many people lost their lives, including people in that audience. And Chicago was a city made of wood back then in 1871. And I forget the percentage of Chicago that burned down, but it was awful. And Moody made a determination. He would always give people an opportunity at that moment to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And that's why, as I have been preaching for 40 plus years, started when I was 10, that's why I will tell you that if you need to come to know Jesus, you need to come to know him now. Because no one knows about tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. I mean, praise the Lord that Tim Zimmerman's doing well. If you're watching, Tim, we're praying for you. But, you know, someone could easily die on the table as well. We could cross the street here and not know what happened. So don't put it off. I always think of D.L. Moody, who put it off one time and said he would put off inviting people one time. He said, and I agree with him, I would never do that. Now, 1 Thessalonians, encouraging one another. You know, these past few months as we've been in COVID-19, it's really been a hard time, hasn't it? I ran into someone yesterday as I was walking my dog. Someone who used to come to coffee break when we were able to get that. And a little old Jewish lady in her 90s. Her name is Fran. Some of you who used to come on Monday mornings know Fran. 90-something years old. A little pistol, too. And she stopped me. I didn't, you know, recognize her. Well, I did with the masks on. She recognized me. And she said, I really miss coming on Monday mornings. And she said, that was my time to connect with people, to come to the church and sit there and have a bagel and some coffee. So for those of you who are debating about helping us, you never know what that would do to someone. And so this little old Jewish lady, I said, well, you know, you could come on Sunday morning. I said, you could wear your, and you'll see some familiar faces there behind the masks. And she said, you know, I really like to do that. And I got an email from her as I was setting up here. And she said, I'm afraid to come. Now, I'm not sure if it was afraid because of COVID-19 or because, you know, a 90-something-year-old Jewish lady walking to a Baptist church, she might think lightning will come down. And I remind her from time to time that I'm a 65-year-old Jewish person who came to know Jesus when he was 8 years old. My great-great-grandfather was an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, and I can speak Jewish. So you want to know, you know, don't bother me, I'm busy. And I emailed her back this morning as I was getting things going here, and I said, Fran, if you come, you will be loved and welcomed, and we'd love to see you. But see, the COVID-19 has been hard on people. There are people that aren't on Facebook. There are people that don't get YouTube. There are people who've been isolated these months. But there have been some silver linings. There have been some silver linings. Have you noticed any of the silver linings? I've noticed in our church that we've seen an increased commitment to prayer. We used to have prayer meetings here, and sometimes it would be me and Nancy and Christiana and Bafour and Deb back in the old days, 9 years ago. And we would try different things. We would try this, we would try that. And I would go, why can't we get people praying? That's supposed to be the furnace room of the church, the power. And then when COVID-19 hit, immediately we started that Zoom prayer meeting on Friday night, back in March, I think it was. Must have been, because we did a Good Friday service one Friday night as part of that. This past Friday, we had 25 people praying, including some little kids. I don't know if they were praying, but I saw them on the screen, Nadej. At least Jeremiah kept coming in and out of the screen. That's a long time for kids to be listening to a bunch of people pray. And I want you to know that even after it stops, we'll keep doing that. If you'd like the Zoom link for that prayer meeting, even if you can't stay the whole time, even if you have to come in and out. I mean, it's not a prayer meeting where we talk about prayer. It's a prayer meeting where we pray. We pray most of the hour, if not almost all of it, sometimes more than an hour. But I've seen an increase of prayer during this time. I've seen an increase of care with even in the COVID-19 when we have this making the lunches for homeless people, as will happen this Saturday at 10:30 a.m. in case you haven't heard that. I walk over here and see a dozen or more people that care for people that have those needs. I've seen the prayer. I've seen the care. Some of you made some other commitments during this COVID-19. I made a commitment that I was going to take better care of myself in COVID-19. Some people, you know, the freshman 15. Did you have freshman 15, Nick? You're so trim. You and Adam. And look at the boys of the band. Look how trim they are. And then there's a trumpet player. Freshman, I made a commitment that during COVID-19, I was going to take better care of myself. And I'm happy to say that 30 pounds lighter now than I was in March. Now, I'll just tell you that to make sure that when we do get the Panera, that I don't take any of those M&M cookies. Well, maybe one. But I want you to know that there have been some benefits. Part of it was there were no restaurants to go to. But there have been some blessings. Even in the midst of some hard times, God can give us the blessings to have. And when Paul writes to the Thessalonians, they're going through hard times. There's persecution. Paul, they knew how Paul had come to them from Philippi, where he'd been beaten with Silas. But they knew that God is good, and that God is good all the time, as we say. And so the silver linings are here. As we continue in 1 Thessalonians 3, you can feel Paul's pain for wanting to minimize the physical distancing. Even as Fran had told me yesterday as I was walking, that she needed people again in her life. Paul needed them as well. And he writes in 1 Thessalonians 3, beginning in the beginning of the chapter, "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens." So Paul is in Athens. "We sent Timothy." Timothy was a young man. He had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. And Paul led him to that saving faith in Jesus. And Timothy became his mentee, which means he was his mentor. "So we sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ." We come back to that gospel again. The good news that Jesus died for us, that he was buried for us, that he's coming again. So he says, "We sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to strengthen and encourage you in your faith." Do you see that word encourage? Encourage means to come alongside and lift you up when you're weary, to come alongside and hold you up when you're tired. Anybody weary this morning? Anybody tired this morning? Has anybody had it with COVID-19? Is anybody ready to, you know, go to 2021? I think I'm ready to go to 2022. Did you see that meme on that's been going around? I think it's on Facebook with Doc Brown and Marty McFly. Gets into the DeLorean. "Whatever you do, don't go back to 2020. If you want to go back, don't go back to 2020. McFly, don't go back to 2020. Yeah, we need encouragement. You know, I see these young people here. You'll never forget what life was like in 2020. Some of you have had loss. Some of you have had, some people here have had COVID even. Some of us lost loved ones during this. We need God's servants like Timothy and before and Deb and Laval and Roger to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. That's what we're here to do, isn't it? We're here to strengthen and encourage you in our faith. That's why we assemble here. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have prayer meetings, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know, when I heard that dear little old lady say she was afraid, you know, in Jesus, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be unsettled. Yeah, sickness comes, trials come, but we have someone that's closer than a brother with us, who will be with us during these trials, during these tribulations, this phlipsis, that word that I shared with you a few weeks ago. For you know quite well that we're destined for them. What? The trials. Don't let some televangelist fool you that when you become a Christian, you will never have a bad day. How many of you had a bad day this past week? Thank heavens my wife didn't raise her hand. Yeah, we have bad days. We have bad days. Things don't always go well for a child of God. We were destined for them. Why? Because sometimes people are attracted to Jesus when they see how we bear up under suffering. It's easy to smile when things are going well. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's easy to sing that. You know, that old Sunday school song, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Or I've got the joy, 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 where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. That's easy when things are going well. But when you're going through the sufferings and the trials and the tribulations and the flipsis, can you still sing, I've got the joy? There's joy in my soul. That's because Jesus is with us even in these hard times. In fact, verse 4, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. Remember when Jesus told his disciples that he was going to suffer and die at the hands of sinful men? They said, Lord, no! Well, Peter and James and John and the rest of the guys and the women who followed him as well knew eventually after Jesus left that they would also suffer, and most of them, other than the Apostle John, die a martyr's death. That's part of what it is. I saw in the news last night or the night before, about my friends in Belarus. 12,000 in jail now because speaking out against the last European dictator in Europe, Alexander Lukashenko. Some of my friends that I've taught in the seminary there, some of my friends who are church leaders, are in jail. One I mentioned last week, his son was beaten last week. Yeah, we in America, oh my heavens, we don't really know what suffering is in this country. Not to the extent of other places. And it turned out that way, that he was persecuted, as you well know. For this reason. Why? Because he knows that the followers of Jesus are suffering. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. Notice he doesn't say, I sent Timothy to you to make sure none of you are being persecuted. No, he expects us to be persecuted when we follow Jesus. I sent Timothy to you to make sure that none of you are suffering. None of you having bad... No! We're going to suffer. We are going to have bad days. No, I sent Timothy to you to find out about your faith. Are you still trusting in Jesus? Are you still trusting in Jesus during the hard times you live? Or have you been one who views God as like a vending machine? If the goodies don't come out, I'm going to bang on the machine and walk away. No, that's not God. He's not a vending machine. He's not Santa Claus. Are you still trusting the Lord even in these difficult times? I was afraid in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. Who's the tempter? It's my wife at night when she asks me if I want any ice cream. No. It was my idea to have the ice cream yesterday. Satan is the tempter. Satan wants you to leave this place this morning and not changed by the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. Satan, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, we need the Lord to deliver us from evil. Or better translated, as we'll use the other version next week, we did the authorized version today, deliver us from the evil one. You see, temptation is, yeah, go ahead and have that cookie. Go ahead and talk to that person in your house with that sarcastic, angry tone. Go ahead, nobody's watching. You can do that. No, Paul was afraid of these men and women whom he had preached the gospel to, that the tempter would somehow come and tempted them, and that his labor for the gospel, his work of ministry, would be in vain or useless or empty. But Timothy has just now come to us. You know what it's like to get good news? Now, there was no email. There was no Twitter. There was no text messaging. This probably took months. But Timothy has just now come to us and brought good news about your faith and love. That's what every church leader, that's what every pastor wants to hear, that people are growing in their faith and their love for the Lord Jesus. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. There's that desire for connection that so many people have been missing during these COVID-19 days. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. You know, just as it's our job to encourage you, your church leaders need to be encouraged as well. And not just, that was a good sermon. You ended on time today, Pastor. Now, don't get your hopes up. But when you encourage your leaders, as I said a few weeks ago with Aaron and her holding up the arms, that enables us to keep doing what we're doing. For now, we really live. In other words, what does that mean, for now we really live? It's like, boy, you gave the breath back to me. I'm excited now, even as I'm isolated here in Athens, social distancing from you. For now we really live, since you're standing firm or strong or solid in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? That's what gives your pastors joy, knowing that you're strong in the Lord. When you can share with us, someone shared on Friday night how encouraged they were. Boy, that's like adding juice to my batteries. Not that, wow, you know, you told a good joke. No, encouraged in the Lord. Night and day we pray most earnestly. Let me stop there. Night and day we pray most earnestly. Are you a person of prayer? As I mentioned, this is the most important activity we can be involved in, because prayer brings us into the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God, like Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, you reflect His glory. How can we be more effective in evangelism? How can we be more effective in sharing the gospel? By being in the presence of God, because then His glory shines through us for people to see. In 1 Thessalonians 5, coming up in a few weeks, we will see Paul's admonition or instruction to pray without ceasing, or to pray continually. And before he writes that for you and me, he models that here in 1 Thessalonians 3:10 by saying, night and day we pray most earnestly. You know what earnestly means? It means to wrestle. It means like when Jacob wrestled with God and said, I won't let you go until you bless me. One day when our family was going through a trial, I remember I was in Michigan, and I said, Lord, I'm not going to let you go till you bless my son. He's having a hard time. I'm not going to let you go. And there's been very few times I've heard God speak almost audibly to me. Some of you know what that means. I wish it happened every day. But as I sat there by that lake in Michigan and said, God, I'm not going to let you go until you help my son get through this trial, I heard his voice almost as clear as a bell. I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to take care of your son. And he did. Answer to prayer. Don't let go of God even when he seems silent. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. His faith encouraged them, but don't ever think you've arrived, my brothers and sisters. Any of you arrived? Any of you 100% where God wants you to be? Can I see those hands? Put mine down too, because I haven't. Of course we need to grow. Of course we need to become more like Jesus. Now he gives this almost like this benediction. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. I'm tired of this social distancing. I'm tired of this physical distancing. I need to be with you again. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Wow, isn't that powerful? Again, none of us have arrived. I want to be more like Jesus tomorrow than I am today. I want to be a better follower of Him next week than I am this week. I want to please Him more next month than I'm pleasing Him this month. I might want to see the scale go down, but I want to see my love and my care and my prayer go up. Anybody else with me? Anybody else with me? May He strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless. Imagine being blameless. Oh, Lord, You don't know my heart. I've got sin in my heart still. Hey, Jesus took that away. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why we come to the Lord's table, because He's taken it away. That's why you need to come to know Jesus if you don't know Him yet, because you've got a criminal record and He wants to expunge it. The devil will come along and say, hey, you remember what you did? Hey, I've been pardoned. I've been redeemed. I've been rescued. May He strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father. When our Lord Jesus comes, there it is, the end of the chapter, when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones. You know who those holy ones are? Job. Job's coming with the holy ones. Your brother who passed away. It's coming with the holy ones. Your mother, my mother, your father. How many others have holy ones waiting for Him? How many others have holy ones waiting? Jesus is coming again. And that's the encouragement that we need to allow Jesus to do His work in us until He comes. When the trumpet sounds, and time will be no more. What do I want you to know this morning? I'll put these away and be quick. Every one of us can encourage and care. Every one of us can encourage and care for, it should be for each other. Every one of us can encourage and care for each other as we pray, demonstrate strong faith, and see overflowing love in our congregation. Every one of us can care for each other as we pray, demonstrate strong faith, and see overflowing love in our congregation. First of all, let's not labor in vain. Let's not labor in vain. What does it mean to labor in vain? Paul is speaking as a pastor, as a missionary, as an apostle. One time I was, when I had my own lawn to mow, we had a tractor. And one time I went around and I realized I had not, now you're going to go, what a genius Pastor Roger is. I could blame this on one of my kids, but it was I. I went around on the lawnmower a couple times. I never engaged the blade. Yeah, go ahead and laugh. Like none of you ever made a dumb, stupid, idiotic mistake. My labor was in vain. I went around, looked, and the grass might have been bent a little bit, but it sure wasn't cut. Yeah, laugh. Go ahead. I'll get back at you. You, I'll get back at. Her, I won't. You, definitely. What is the labor of the ministry? To see lives changed. To see lives changed. In other words, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, what would make this labor profitable or beneficial or, more importantly, pleasing to God is to see you say, Lord Jesus, I come to You. But it's like mowing the grass without the blade engaged. For some of you to hear the gospel week after week and sit week after week and still put off coming to know Jesus. What does it mean for our labor not to be in vain? For some of us who are still walking, we know Jesus is Lord and Savior, but maybe we're living in fear, or maybe we're living in doubt, or maybe we're not committed to prayer, or not committed to following Him with a whole heart. Our labor is in vain if you leave the same way you came in. But if the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts are acceptable in His sight, O Lord, my strength and Redeemer, God will change all of us to be more like Jesus when we walk out this morning. As I was walking around this morning in the 41 degree beautiful temperature, I said, Lord, change my heart, first of all. Change my heart to make me follow Jesus more devotedly. Our labor is in vain if no one hears and then no one responds. When Jesus preached, many people responded. Not all of them. Remember the rich young ruler? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Keep the commandments. Jesus knew that he would be able to say that. No, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And he went away sadly. Was Jesus' labor in vain? Well, he taught us a lesson from it. We want to see people's lives changed. The Holy Spirit wants us to walk away differently. Let us not labor in vain. Remember, every one of us can care for each other as we pray, demonstrate strong faith, and see overflowing love in our congregation. Let's be praying for strong faith. Let's be praying for strong faith. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Is that okay? I'm going to be honest with you. When I was a kid, I would sometimes get annoyed going to prayer meeting. I did. Let's pray for Aunt Tilly's sore toe. Let's pray that we have a good day tomorrow. Let's pray that I feel better. Now, God wants us to bring... I don't want to mock anybody. God does want us to bring our prayers and petitions to him. But look at the Lord's Prayer. How does it start? Our Father who... I'll do it in the King James, since we just... Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It starts with praise. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It starts with acknowledging that I want God to work his way. We don't get to our needs till we go to give us this day our daily bread. But then we come back to him and say, forgive us. Don't let us fall into temptation. Keep us from the evil one. You know what I'd love in a prayer meeting? And maybe I'll look for it on Friday night this week. Let's pray for Aunt Tilly's sore toe. But let's pray that our church would be a church of strong faith. Let's pray that we would grow in the strength of Jesus Christ. Let's pray that we'd be more effective in our community to share the gospel. Let's pray that God would do not what we need to be done, but what he wants to be done. Pray for Aunt Tilly's sore toe if you want. Go ahead, pray for a good day. But put that at the bottom of the prayer meeting and put on top, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Praise the Lord. Put on top the confession of sins before you say what you want. Put on top, Lord Jesus, make me more like you. Now you might disagree, but I'm up here and you're not. Talk about it in a parking lot. That's what Paul prayed for. Continually, night and day, that their faith would be strong. Every one of us can encourage and care for each other as we pray, demonstrate strong faith, and see overflowing love in our congregation. And that's the last point. Let's see increasing and overflowing love for each other. You know, so many people think of church as an event to go to. What I heard from little old Fran yesterday, not a church person, not a believer, that she was missing love in her life. She was missing that care. You know, when we learned that the President of the United States, this is not political, this is a man who came down with COVID-19 and his wife. How many people, even people from the other side, God bless former Vice President Biden, whose first words were praying for the First Lady and the President, Speaker of the House, praying for the President. And so, you know, my prayers go out. You know, you're in my thoughts and prayers. You're in my thoughts and prayers. That's all good. But we need more than thoughts and prayers. James says, if you see someone in need and you just say, God bless you, I'm praying for you, what good does it do? When someone's in need, we pray for them, but we do something too. Faith, James says, without works is dead. We don't do the works to get saved, But because we are rescued, because we are people of faith, we do more than prayer, we care. We're to be praying people and caring people. Prayer and care, they both go together. I pray for people. How great it is that we don't have to just pray for the homeless people, but we're doing something for them. Are you increasing and overflowing in love for people here? Have any of you written a note to one of, we pray for our sick and shut-ins every Sunday from this pulpit. Have any of you written a note of encouragement to any of them? I know some have. And you might be sitting there going, well, I need their address. I don't have their address. Call the office tomorrow morning. Viviana will give you that. Let's see how many calls you get, Viviana. Rather than, oh, they're just in my prayers and thoughts on Sunday morning. I know some of you have been buying groceries for people who can't get out. Some of you put your masks on and visited people. Make sure it's okay with them, I hope. But it's not just enough to say, I'm praying for you. We need action with that. We need people involved. You see, faith, you can say you have faith, but if we don't see the fruit, faith is the root. What we do is the fruit of faith. That's what James means when he says faith without works is dead. That's why Paul commends the Thessalonians that they've been doing things that show the love and care, and he wants to see that increase and overflow. My friends, every one of us can encourage and care for each other. As we pray, demonstrate strong faith and see overflowing love in our congregation. Let's pray as the worship team comes back up. Let's pray. Father God, if anyone is listening today, first of all, who's been putting off coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I don't want to be like Dwight L. Moody before the Chicago fire. I want to give people an opportunity right now to say, Lord Jesus, I hear you calling me to follow you. And right now, I'm going to say in the quietness of this moment, while no one's even watching or looking except you and the angels and the great cloud of witnesses in heaven, that I hear you calling me to follow you. It's not about religion. It's not about keeping commandments. It's not even about going to church. It's about knowing you personally. And right now, I'm going to say in my heart of hearts that I believe Jesus died for my sins, that he was buried and rose from the grave, and I now ask him to be my leader, my deliverer, and I will follow him all the days of my life. If you're in the room with me this morning while the heads are bowed and the eyes are closed, would you just look at me and wave and say, Pastor Roger, I prayed with you. I prayed with you, and I asked Jesus to come into my life. I believe he died for my sins. I believe that he rose from the grave, and I'm going to follow him all the days of my life. Anybody in the room want to say, Pastor Roger, I want to be a follower of Jesus. Anybody? Anybody? If you're listening online, you can just put, I prayed with you, Pastor Roger, and we'll get back to you. We're going to